Hello, this is a recording for Sunday the 27th of December 2020, the last Sunday of this year, which is shocking. The year has been really strange, but seems to have gone by relatively quickly. But I'll be coming to the end of our parable session soon, so do get in touch if you want me to teach on something else specific. I'm thinking and praying about that now. But if there is anything in particular that you want me to be teaching on, then please do get in touch with the church office and let Bev know, and she will get the message to me. So before we get into today's parable, I'm going to play a little game and try and see whether you can work out what animal I am thinking of. So this animal has got 300 breeds of it. Seems a lot, and that's for 5 points. If you can guess the animal now, you would get 5 points. For 2 points, for 4 points, it's a farm animal. So I'm sure that narrows it down quite a bit for you. For 3 points, this animal is very clean and will not eat hay that people have walked on. Does that help at all? For 2 points, this animal is named in one of the parables we have talked about in the past. And for 1 point, if you're not there yet, the animal, the noise this animal makes is bleat, and its baby is called a kid. So did that help? Did that make you think of a goat? Because that is the animal I was thinking of. If you remember, we talked about the parable of the sheep and the goats, where God was separating the good people from the bad people. So, hope that was interesting. And today's parable is called The Rich Man and Lazarus. And we find it in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 19 is where it starts. Just read that quickly. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Okay, so this parable opens up a lot of questions, and some of them maybe not very comfortable questions, about heaven and hell, which as Christians we need to know about, and we need to think about it and plan our lives. because this parable does tell us that these are very real places. And as we go through, you'll find other lessons to learn about them. But it's not supposed to scare us. Knowing that there is a hell is not supposed to frighten us, because we are putting our trust and our faith in God. And by doing that, we know that that is the sure way we have of not ending up in hell. Our actions and things that we do will play a part, but really our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus is the thing that will get us into heaven. Now, if we first look at the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to, the Pharisees had a different impression of wealth, and they thought that wealth meant a position in society. It meant the power to do what you want, the prestige of other people, so they would get respect and admiration from other people. And they thought they deserved this. Pharisees thought that they deserved to be noticed and treated as important. In the synagogues, they would have special seats that were reserved for themselves. And at feasts, they would expect to be given the best seats in the house. So they really put a lot of importance in being wealthy. And Jesus told this parable just to show that what you do now does have a difference, does have an impact on whether you go to heaven or hell. But that being rich today is not the thing that God looks at when he's deciding who goes to heaven or who goes to hell. Because if we look at Lazarus, who ends up going to heaven, he was poor. He was not in very good health. He was so weak that he was unable to stop the dogs licking his sores. But he was a good and righteous man, and his heart was good towards God. And that was why he ended up in heaven. The rich man, on the other hand, who is not even named, he is so unimportant in Jesus' eyes that he doesn't even tell us this man's name. So it's like we don't get a really personal relationship with him, because we don't know his name. And the rich man, what we know about him is that he wore purple and fine linen. And purple was a very precious and expensive dye. And it was very rarely worn by people, because you had to have approval from the royalty of that day to wear it. Not just anybody could wear purple. You had to have permission to wear it. So this rich man, he wanted to show people his wealth, not just having the wealth, but showing it around to other people. As far as we know from the parable, the rich man didn't do anything to hurt Lazarus, but he doesn't show him any compassion either. He seems happy for Lazarus to take scraps from his table, but he doesn't do anything to provide for Lazarus. He doesn't look around and see Lazarus and see and think how he could help Lazarus. So that seems to be his biggest sin. He didn't break any of the Ten Commandments, but he certainly didn't treat Lazarus like a neighbor. He didn't care for him or show him any compassion. The rich man was just interested in providing for himself. And as I said earlier, this shows us that heaven and hell are real. Which is not always a comfortable or popular topic. But the Bible tells us that every person that is alive is going to spend time either in heaven or in hell. But this is something that we should not be afraid of. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. We shouldn't be afraid to think about it. We shouldn't worry about where we're going to end up, because we're putting our trust in Jesus. So, and the Bible tells us that he who believes in the Lord will have eternal life. And that's what we need to rely on. The rich man did, when he was talking to Father Abraham, he didn't ask for an end to his torment. He didn't ask to be taken out of hell, because he knew that that's where he belonged. That's where he deserved to be. And there was no escape. There was no moving. Once you're in hell, you're in hell. And once you're in heaven, you're in heaven. As Father Abraham explained, that there is a great chasm between the two, a great gap where you cannot, that you cannot cross from one place to the other. So we do have to be careful to make sure we end up in the right place. And we can see from the story that it's not the material wealth that will get us into heaven. Because being rich is not evidence of God's love and blessings. The rich man, he had all those things, but that was not the important blessing that he needed. And being poor as well is not evidence of being abandoned by God or being cursed by God. Because Lazarus was very poor, he didn't have great health, but God was with him. And that's shown when he is taken up to heaven. Actually, being rich can cause you to separate from God more, because you might feel like you don't need God, you've got everything you need, whatever you don't have, you can buy. So you might feel that you don't need God just because you're rich, but it's not an excuse, because other people in the Bible were very rich and they still trusted and relied on God. Solomon, for example, was the richest man in the Bible. And when God asked him for something, he didn't say, I don't need anything because I've got everything that I have. But he asked God for wisdom to do God's work. So there's always something that we need from God, even if we have all the material things that we need. And we can see that one of the things the rich man asks for is, apart from asking for, you know, relief from his torment, he asks for someone to go to his brothers to tell them about hell, heaven and hell, and to make sure that they don't end up in hell. And Father Abraham says, if they're not going to believe Moses and the prophets that are on earth, they won't even believe if somebody else rises, if someone rises from the dead. And that was so true to what happened with Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead and he went about telling people what are the things they should do and teaching people. But still people didn't believe him. So Father Abraham was right in saying that people's belief was not going to be based about who told them things. If they were adamant in not believing, there was nothing that someone who had risen from the dead, they weren't going to make any difference. So, what things can we learn that have eternal value even in heaven? What is God looking for in our lives? What things are important to God? From the story, we can see that how we treat other people really makes a big difference. The second thing is that the intentions of our hearts, our motives for why we do things, that is very, very important to God. And number three, taking opportunity to be a blessing to other people, making sure that we help those that need help around us. That is so important to God. So that's just a few things that we can learn from this story. And I hope it really helps you and blesses you. I will see you in the new year. Do take care and God bless you. Bye.